This is All India Radio. In the program Spotlight, now we bring you a discussion on U.S. court's judgment to allow spouses of H-1B visa holders in tech sector to work in America. The participants are Dr. Harsh V. Pant, strategic analyst, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, AIR correspondent.
I'm joined by Dr. Harsh V. Pant, who is the Vice President of Studies and Foreign Policy at the Observer Research Foundation in New Delhi. Dr. Pant, a warm welcome to the program. In today's program, we would discuss about the U.S. court judgment which allows spouses of H-1B visa holders in the tech sector to work in America. Dr. Pant, how important is an H-1B visa to work in the U.S. tech sector to begin with?
Well, it is a very important category. The American tech sector in the last few decades has expanded phenomenally in the U.S. And one of the reasons of their expansion and of their central role in American economy has been their ability of tech companies to tap in the best talent across the world, in particular from India and China. Now, what tends to happen is that an H-1B visa, which is a non-immigrant visa, it allows companies in the U.S., tech companies, to employ foreign workers in occupations, in particular, in specialized categories. So there, the tech companies do not find or do not have in-house expertise, in-country expertise. They hire thousands of employees every year from India and China, which is sort of space that increasingly has become the defining feature of the American tech sector. Their ability to tap on the best talent in the world has allowed them to expand, has allowed them to be innovative. And so H-1B visa actually sits at the heart of American tech space in more ways than one. And therefore, it is so important, and therefore it has become so important for the tech companies and also become very, very politically contentious at a time when employment opportunities broadly are dwindling in the U.S. And therefore, it has created a number of these conversations around what needs to be done, how it needs to be reformed, and what curtailments are needed to ensure that American workers get some preferences. And I think the debate on H-1B visa, what has happened in this decision, also reflects some of those concerns and issues.
So do tell us about this U.S. court decision on the part of the a district judge regarding allowing spouses to work as well. How does this affect and impact the Indian diaspora in the U.S.?
See, it impacts it very significantly because a lot of the people who get employed go to the U.S. Hoping and thinking that they would be able to live where both of them, their spouses would be able to work. Now, and this was something that had been going on for some time, almost I think 100,000 work authorizations have been issued by U.S. to spouses of H-1B workers over the last few years. So it's a significant number. But because of this new regulation, that employment authorization would not be issued to spouses of certain categories, had created a lot of concern in the Indian diaspora that how people be able to sustain themselves in an economy where the costs of living had been rising. So you end up in a very difficult situation where either the worker feels that he or she has to live alone in the U.S. without the family, or whether they need to relocate back to India and give up the job in the U.S. because it becomes financially unsustainable. So I think the decision by dismissing the lawsuit filed by Safe Jobs USA perhaps gives great relief to a number of Indians, Indian diaspora, which have been worked up, which have been concerned about the implications of of their spouses not getting employment authorization. So I think it will certainly ease that concern. It will certainly ease the economic burden on these families, and hopefully allow the H-1B visa holders to live a more peaceful and contented life within the confines of their own families, without the sword hanging that any time they'll be asked to relocate or they will face financial troubles.
So after this regulation in the permit was relaxed, Safe Jobs USA filed this lawsuit, which was dismissed at the U.S. district judge level. Do tell us about Safe Jobs USA. What is the nature of this party?
See, in the last few years, what has happened in the U.S. is there's a number of organizations have come in arguing that, look, we need employment opportunities in the U.S. should primarily go to American workers. And this particular organization, Save Jobs USA, basically is an organization comprising primarily of IT workers. And their primary grouse is that they have lost their jobs to H-1B workers. And therefore, they have been making this case that, look, it should be more difficult for H-1B workers to come to the U.S. and work. And one of the ways in which you can make that that difficult is by not allowing their spouses to work and earn in the U.S. So therefore, they filed this lawsuit. And of course, this lawsuit was opposed by tech companies like Microsoft, Google, Apple, and Amazon, because they knew that the reason why they are getting these H-1B workers is because they lacked talent and they lacked that particular expertise in the U.S. So without the H-1B workers, they won't be able to sustain their work, their companies. And the Save Jobs USA wanted to make it difficult for H-1B workers to come to work. So I think one has to look at it within the broader political economic context of the U.S., where this desire to have employment opportunities in the U.S. primarily for Americans has gained traction. It was one of the reasons why we saw a lot of this being supported by President Trump when he came to office. So there has been this political mobilization along those lines. But for the time being, the Save Jobs USA, their lawsuit has been dismissed by the local court. But it remains to be seen whether this will be appealed against and whether they would go forward with taking it to higher courts.
Well, yes, the right to appeal is there. But speaking of rights, so what is the scope of immigration rights in the U.S., especially for tech workers who land in the U.S. with an H-1B visa?
It's very restrictive, actually, because H-1B visas are, as we have been discussing, they are primarily they cater to a particular employment deficit in the U.S., a particular specialty deficit in the U.S. So it is a non-immigrant visa, that primarily is aimed at allowing U.S. companies to employ foreign workers. And technology companies, of course, given the nature of their field, depend on this visa to get the best talent from countries abroad. But as far as the rights of the H-1B visa holders are concerned, they're very restricted, because they eventually have to go back. They can't move from one job to another in the U.S. As part of this visa. So if they want to change their profession, if they want to change their job, then they have to go back to the U.S. and apply for H-1B visa again. So in that sense, H-1B visa is primarily about a particular job opening for which a particular person will be recruited to go back to the U.S., do that particular job for the time frame, and then, of course, he'll be expected to come back, go back to his or her own country. It's a specialized visa, and it requires specialized knowledge. Now, increasingly, what has also been happening is that there have been demands for reforming the system. So we just a few days back, we have had legislation being introduced in the U.S. Senate, which calls for a comprehensive overhaul of this program, because a lot of American policymakers, politicians, are asking for greater transparency in the way foreign workers are being recruited. And they are demanding that this H-1B visa creates a lot of avenues for fraud. So therefore, they are saying that, look, what we want now is we want to have workers at the higher end of the spectrum, where you are linking their skills with, you are linking their specialty occupation with a bachelor's degree or higher. So again, you can see that what they want to do is that they don't want lower end skilled workers to come to the U.S. I think the political dynamic is in the favor of that those jobs should go to America. There is a sense that many in the U.S. perhaps cannot fill the high end technology jobs, but what they can fill is the low end technology jobs, and they don't want foreign workers to come and fill the low end technology jobs. So I think there again we are witnessing a political back and forth, and since this is a bipartisan legislation, I think this is going to come to fruition sooner rather than later, and we are going to see more tightening of H-1B regulations because of the political considerations that are driving it at the moment, that more jobs should be available for American workers. So by making it more difficult to get low-end, opening up low-end technology jobs to foreign workers, they are going to now focus more on the high-end technology spectrum. So that is, I think, what H-1B visa does, is that while it allows tech companies to fill a certain vacuum in their structures and processes where they don't have domestic expertise, I think politically it is becoming very difficult to sustain an open-ended H-1B program as well.
So the underlying cause for this relaxation in the H-1B visa, which allows spouses to work now, is a cost of living in the U.S. What is that cost of living in the U.S.?
Well, you know, the American economy is going through a difficult phase at the moment, and the inflation rate has been quite high, and the economic situation because of multiple factors, first COVID and then the war in Ukraine, you know, all of that is making things difficult. And I think the inflation rate perhaps at the moment is ranges from anyone, in the last few months has ranged from all the way from 6.4 to 7.8. You know, which is quite extraordinary in the sense that a long-term average is around 3.2 or something. According to standards of where America used to be and where America is today in terms of the inflationary pressures, these are quite high. Therefore, for ordinary Americans, for ordinary citizens and people living in the U.S., this has been a troubling phase in terms of cost of living. And that means that everything from basic food items to what you are renting, how you are renting, all of that has gone up. So unless you have the ability to help your spouse or to help your partner in managing this this cost of living, it becomes very difficult to sustain financially. So in that sense, this decision is logical. It makes sense. It is commonsensical that if you have people who are coming here to work in the U.S. technology space, if you have those families, they need to work together. They need to be given opportunities where at least they can have a decent living standard. If that is not happening, then why would people come? So I think that it makes common sense, but whether it makes political sense and whether this is going to be long term or whether this is we are going to see political mobilization around it, I think those questions still remain.
So we have discussed some points of contention in the lawsuit, for instance, protecting employment of naturalized citizens in the U.S. But isn't it also a cost-saving exercise for the companies, which is why they are trying to hire Indians in the tech sector by providing them the H-1B visa?
It is, and I think for companies it works at multiple levels. It allows them to fill certain specialized categories. It allows them to to cut costs, to make themselves more cost effective. It allows them to to have a production cycle or production structure that continues to generate profits for them for the long term. So I think in more ways than one, it works for tech companies and I think there is some concern that might also face a challenge. But as we know that this is an environment today is an environment for tech companies that is not particularly economically fruitful, that today tech companies are laying off people across the board, that this is a time when tech companies are facing enormous negative headwinds. So how will they work out an arrangement which can be perhaps seen as fair both by Americans and by those they are hiring from abroad? I think that's a question that tech companies will have to answer sooner rather than later. At this point, they face enormous pressures, tech companies, and I think this decision has done, while it has provided a sense of comfort to H-1B visa holders, it also raises some questions about which direction the tech companies are likely to go. For a long time, tech companies that have opposed this lawsuit have been saying that, look, we want to be able to attract the best talent possible. But if the opportunities for the talent, if the environment for the talent is not conducive for a sustainable lifestyle, then that talent will not come to the U.S. We are seeing, for example, a lot of the tech layoffs that are happening across the world are also bringing a lot of tech talent back to countries like India. So in some ways, we are also looking at the balancing out of the tech space across the world, and it will be interesting to see what impact it has on the production structures and on the supply chains over the next few months and years.
Well, thank you so much, Dr. Harsh V. Pant, for talking to us on this program and discussing at length how the U.S. court judgment that allows spouses of H-1B visa holders in the tech sector to work in America.
Thank you.
You were listening to a discussion on U.S. court's judgment to allow spouses of H-1B visa holders in tech sector to work in America. The participants were Dr. Harsh V. Pant, strategic analyst, and Arjun J. Chaudhary, AIR correspondent. This program was produced and presented by the News Services Division of All India Radio. You can listen to it on a mobile app, News on AIR. This program is also available on a YouTube channel, News on AIR Official. You may share your feedback about this program through email at eirnsdtalks@gmail.com or WhatsApp on 9289094044.